Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, May 22nd. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, Jason Bishop, and now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our pal Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5. Kevin, do you still do the national Fox and Friends bit?
JP, yeah. I mean, that's more of like a off and on thing, obviously, with everything happening right now and, you know, politically and also happening in the world, movies and reviews and things on their show, in my opinion, is taking a back seat, which is understandable. It's a national show. So, I've been on there less and less during this time period, but I'm still working for them. Yeah.
Got you.
So how does that work when you're on with them? Do you get paid per appearance, or is it just part of your deal?
I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about that. I think it's. I mean, I have a contract, so it's like
it's your salary.
It's built into it. So okay.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So it doesn't hurt you financially if they don't put you on.
But I'd rather be on.
Of course, I understand that.
Funny because I remember when I first started doing this, and I had never really signed like contracts before or knew what contracts were because, you know, the first 8 years I did this job, I did it for free while working a sales job at 106.7. So when I started getting these contracts and understanding what they meant, I thought that meant that I had to work every single day or I had to be on every single week in order to get paid. And I didn't realize that. But I mean, I'm on enough at certain times where it all evens out, where I think it just works out.
Right.
From a money standpoint, you know.
Well, yeah, good. You're a small fish in a very big pond.
Yeah. Right.
When it comes to
right.
Fox.
They don't sweat your salary. They just don't. I'm sure you're doing well, but they don't sweat it.
At the end of the day, it's always been weird to me because I tell this story sometimes. Like when I met my wife, Lauren, in 2012, I didn't even know what Fox and Friends was. I just didn't watch a lot of, like, you know, cable television. I mean, I watched our local morning show that I work on here in DC, obviously Fox 5, but I'd never seen that show. And so, like, that whole thing kind of came out of just a quick email I got one random Saturday morning from somebody who produced their show. And they were like, hey, do you want to come on and recap the Avengers? I'm like, I have no idea what this show is, but sure. And then I go
so cool.
on there, and then everything kind of just changes. So, what I will say, though, and something I'm proud of is, throughout that whole time, I've always just stuck to movies, never gotten into politics and things like that. So, you know, my segments on their shows have always been more of just a break from reality,
right.
I guess.
Yeah. Right, which is good, which is smart on your part. Was the person that invited you, the producer that invited you, were they local and so they knew of your work in D.C.?
I would love to know that. I don't know that.
You don't know?
And
okay.
That whole story is strange because, I mean, Fox News is obviously much different than it was when I started there because, like, you know, when I first started there, like, you know, Tucker Carlson and Ainsley, they were on the weekend show. So I was, like, doing weekend segments with Tucker and Ainsley all the time. Like, it was, you know,
right.
And so at that point, it was like Steve, Brian, and Gretchen were on the couch, the main couch. So I was actually just learning all of this. But now to see where it is now and see where all the shows are now, it's pretty insane to think about how different it was when I first started, to be honest.
Right. Right, for sure.
Well, I saw you tweeting about Tenet.
Yes.
You get fired up for the Tenet trailer.
Oh, my God.
Cakes loves Christopher Nolan, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I've heard this.
Yeah, Cakes loves him.
Well, first of all, for people who are listening that might not know what we're talking about, Tenet is the new Chris Nolan film. Now, I think you guys will find this interesting. Eric, I think you will, too, because you asked a lot of questions about movie theaters and when we're going to return to normal. So Chris Nolan, for people who, you know, he has directed, you know, some of the greatest movies that have come out in the past decades. Like, you know, Dark Knight, Inception, Interstellar, Dunkirk, Memento, Insomnia. I mean, this guy is arguably one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. I think he's one of the greatest filmmakers ever to live. I just think he's changed and preserved the cinematic experience. Now, Cakes, aside from, like, personal feelings about his movies in general, this is a guy who has genuinely, not that you have personal attacks on him, but just your feelings you have against his movies in general and storytelling. But this guy has done so much to preserve the cinematic experience, like making sure that movie theaters remain in the way that you can experience a movie unlike anywhere else in the world. So Tenet is supposed to come out July 17th. And clearly we're in the middle of a global crisis and a pandemic. So this movie coming out on July 17th has a lot of controversy surrounding it from both sides. A lot of people saying, you know, how could you release a movie? Is this even going to happen? Are people going to go to the movie theaters? The other side of it is a slight return to normalcy. I mean, as things start to reopen, movie theaters will start hopefully to do social distancing protocols. And think about it like this. I mean, I'm just thinking of a perfect case scenario. Let's say Tenet opens up on July 17th. You could have a gigantic movie theater like AMC Hoffman or something like that in Alexandria, 22 screens, could play just Tenet. And then you could literally mess with the capacity of every theater. So put a third of the people in each theater, have them sit six seats apart or whatever it would be. It is possible. Again, I don't know scientifically, CDC-wise, I don't know how that's all going to work. But as we start to think of ideas of how we're reopening, Tenet is still supposed to come out on July 17th.
Yeah, but how's that going to help the theater if they're only showing one movie?
So that's a great question. Because right now, Eric, their theaters aren't open. All those employees are home. Nope. I mean, think about what that would do. That would basically bring employees back to theaters.
But
now,
is it enough to keep them sustained, though? I get it. So that it's better than nothing. Yeah. But is it enough to sustain and pay
tough.
The rent?
I guess they'd rather be at a third capacity than nothing, but
I understand, but it's a third long-term good enough to stay up. You know, that's what a lot of these businesses are facing right now.
It's an interesting question because it's one of these things where of course the safety of everybody is important. And I want to make sure that is known. I mean, movies are movies. But the communal experience of a movie theater and people getting out of their houses and experiencing something they love with strangers. I don't know if you guys read the Atlantic article that Dave Grohl wrote about concerts. Very similar concept where when you're in a crowd of people and you're experiencing something you all love and know, you're no longer strangers. And again, I know we're not going to get back to that exactly how it's been, you know, in the years past. But if we can get something like that, where maybe you're in a theater with a third of the people, and you can experience a movie that mentally does something for people to get out of their house and do that. Now, again, it's all based on CDC and all these guidelines. We have no idea. We're in uncharted territory. Now, the movie Tenet is a big deal because if that's the movie that returns us to cinema, it's such a perfect movie to do it because this is a guy who has preserved that experience his entire career. Now, Tenet, if you guys aren't familiar, this is going to be insane. The trailer came out yesterday. Have you guys watched the new trailer for it?
Is it a little bit like The Matrix? That's what I would compare it to.
Is it too science fiction-y for us?
Well, okay, so here's the idea.
Because you know what we like.
For us, yes, I would guess.
Every one of you is going to like this movie. Did you guys like Inception?
No. Remind me what Inception was.
I fell asleep 5 minutes into it.
Yeah.
Dude, Inception was Leonardo DiCaprio. They were going into the dreams and the different layers.
Set me into a dream, all right, is what it did.
Yeah. All right.
I dreamed it was never released.
This is somehow a Chris Nolan hating show. I don't know what's going on here.
No, I love Dunkirk. Dunkirk was fantastic.
I love
Batman Begins.
Interstellar, that was my jam.
All right, well, wait, you didn't like Interstellar, Eric, did you really?
I loved that movie.
I don't think
I
saw
that before.
I don't think I saw Inception.
I loved Interstellar.
That's my favorite Nolan movie. I thought it's a sci-fi space movie.
I know, you guys but there was a human element there about like missing people and time and passage of time that hit me emotionally. That was an emotional movie for me.
Eric, first of all, I love you for saying that because I completely agree with you. And oddly enough, this is actually making me really happy to talk about this with you because Interstellar is the first time I ever cried in a Nolan movie because he's being serious. And what Eric's referring to, there's a moment in the movie where Matthew McConaughey's character comes back from this planet and 23 years has passed in a matter of 4 hours for him. And he has to watch 23 years of footage of his kids growing up and having kids, and all that happened in 4 hours for him.
Meanwhile, we've all watched that happen. We're watching that happen in real life here.
Right, real time.
It feels like that, you know.
But, Eric, imagine waking up one morning and you missed 23 years of your children's life.
Of course.
And your son has a kid, and you're seeing that for the first time. So I'm glad you brought that up, Eric, because that is exactly what Nolan deals with, is time. Time is a major player in his films. I mean, Memento took place in reverse. So this movie, Tenet, John David Washington, the lead star, is Denzel Washington's son. Phenomenal actor. He was in Black Klansman. The concept here is we don't really know much about it, but he has to go into the future and stop some type of massive event that's going to hope. I don't know what it's going to do. It's going to end world kind or mankind. But the time travel aspect of it is this. He has to go into the future and reverse fight sequences. So you have this character jumping into timelines where fights haven't happened yet, and he's fighting in reverse to fix it from occurring. It's one of the most insane concepts I have ever heard in regards to filmmaking, and I have no idea how he's going to pull this off. I mean, you have scenes in this trailer where cars are driving backwards while other cars are driving forwards, and everything is happening in reverse and forwards at the same time. And I have no idea how he's pulling this off. Robert Pattinson's in the film. It looks insane. The trailer came out last night. I don't play Fortnite, but I thought they were really smart last night. They actually dropped the trailer in Fortnite last night, which I thought was kind of a cool idea because they get that younger audience. But now that the trailer's out, if you haven't seen it, just go to Tenet Film on Twitter. It will absolutely blow your mind. I've watched the trailer 15 times now, I think, and I've been going.
I'm telling you're you that right nerd. Now,
guys, I'll give a little inside nugget. When you watch the trailer, pay attention to a moment where Kenneth Branagh is on a road with a bunch of cars. Mm-hmm. Watch he is moving forward in the scene while the window of another car is being reversed back from the gun explosion that just occurred. I don't understand how this is happening. It is mind-blowing. I'm so excited about this movie, but it comes out July 17th, maybe. If not, they're probably going to move it to August or December. I have no idea what they're going to do.
I don't know the big deal about a movie about a former CIA director. I don't know what all the buzz is about. that zing just died on the vine. I love George Tenet.
But anyway, so Nolan's movie Tenet, that's the big news story right now. That's coming out July 17th. And then today, if you're interested, is an R-rated comedy on Netflix called Lovebirds, The Lovebirds. This is actually a movie that was supposed to go to theaters. Netflix picked it up and put it out today. It's Kumail Nanjiani and Issa Rae. Basically, it's a couple who are kind of on the end of their relationship. They get involved in a murder mystery that kind of helps them reconcile. And that's the concept. It's rated R. It's an hour and a half. I didn't particularly care for it. I thought that they were funny together, but I thought the story structure and the way the movie was put together just didn't work. Tonally, it did not make sense. Like, they were making fun of things that didn't need to be made fun of, but I just found it to be a little bit all over the place, but they're fine in it. I gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
Did you like The Wrong Missy?
I haven't seen The Wrong Missy yet.
I wrote it.
It's hilarious.
JP's been hyping this movie up for a week.
It's stupid, but it's funny.
No. JP, I honestly wouldn't mind watching it. I mean, I'll probably watch the Tenet trailer about 10 more times before I watch that movie, right, The Wrong Missy. But, yeah, I mean, guys, I'm telling you, do yourself a favor in your next break. The trailer's 3 minutes. Right. Watch it once and then return to it again on your next break. And I guarantee you after 3 times, you're just going to be – like, your head is going to be so – blown out of proportion. Like, I
guarantee you that
you understand.
Not
we don't that's look impossible. At movies like you do. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
We're going to watch it three times.
Yeah. This is an actual thought process that happened to me last night in my house. I was upstairs in my living room watching the trailer, and I got frustrated because I could not comprehend what no one was giving me. I did not understand. Like, my mind is not ready for Tenet. And I don't think anybody's mind is ready for Tenet. It's going to be a masterpiece beyond belief. Watch the trailer.
Am I the only one of the four that has seen Dunkirk?
I have not seen Dunkirk.
JP?
I did not see Dunkirk.
And I know Eric didn't.
My college roommate's from Dunkirk, Maryland.
This is a little different. It's a little different. Yeah, but I'm telling you, don't you think those guys would like Dunkirk? It's amazing.
Dunkirk, I rewatched yesterday. Dunkirk, I saw six times in theaters. Dunkirk, Jason brings up a great point. Dunkirk,
Kev, we got to go to break. It's one of those deals.
All right, Kevin, have a good weekend, man. All right, 2.5 for the Lovebirds movie on Netflix, and go watch the Tenet trailer at least three times.
Yes.
We're the Junkies. Come right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. During the break, I did watch the Tenet trailer. Did you guys watch it?
No.
No.
Come on. One out of four.
Does my head look different? Is my mind blown?
No.
How would you rate it?
Exactly the same.
I did like it. I like the actor. I've watched him on Ballers, Denzel's son, and it looks exciting. It looks like it's going to be very confusing, but it looks like a movie I'd like.
Yeah. All right. Well,
what's the one that Tom Cruise did with What's the one Tom Cruise did with Emily Blunt?
That was that's Drab's
favorite
movie,
Edge of Tomorrow. Drab loves it.
For some reason, I got an Edge of Tomorrow vibe.
That's a good movie.
Yeah,
but it is very science fictiony.
I've seen about five of Nolan's movies, and the only one that really jumps out at me is Dunkirk. Because I saw Memento, it was okay. I saw Insomnia, okay. Saw The Prestige, okay.
You didn't see Interstellar.
I didn't see Interstellar.
I like Memento a lot.
It's all right.
Memento was Guy Pearce where he
everything
has
went
amnesia,
backwards.
But he's got tattoos all over his body, right? And he has to try and figure out what's going on.
Was that the one who went backwards?
Yes.
That he went backwards in age?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That was all right.
So during the break, I heard something really loud in my ears. I don't think Valdez knew that we heard that. I think he found his old man alert, or at least...
Yes. You could hear me putting it together?
I heard during the break, yeah,
we
just
heard
at the very end.
Pieces.
It was so loud. But go ahead. I want to hear it and see if
it. It's the first draft, and let me know if you want to tweak anything, and then I'll come up with another one.
Right.
Old man River.
All right, that is pretty
fallen.
Good.
I can't get up.
All right. I think it's pretty good.
It makes you chuckle.
It's a little long.
That horn in the background is the
I think
best.
You need to start with the horn and then the Old Man River stuff. Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, start with some sort of alarm, then the Old Man River, and then the maybe the alarm again, and then we get out.
Buddies, okay. What era is that music from?
It's the Charleston.
Like the 20s?
It's the Charleston.
Charleston.
Me. All right, so you want me to scrap the life alert?
It's pretty funny. I don't know. I just think it's a little long, but whatever.
So the idea is that
if you're going with that era, the Where's the Beef fits too, because that's an old lady.
Clara Power.
Then it'll be way too long.
Well, no, but Where's the Beef? If Where's the Beef is shorter than I've Fallen, I Can't Get Up.
Yeah, but I think people understand I've Fallen, I Can't Get Up more than Where's the Beef, and plus it's more with elderly. Because more elderly people fall.
By the way.
Life Alert. I mean, that's an elderly product.
Am I supposed to know the Charleston just by hearing it?
I think it's pretty recognizable.
Really? I would never know it.
It's an iconic song in pop culture history.
Okay. Yeah, but not to me. Not to us.
You also think that weird poem that they read all the time on Thanksgiving is popular. And it's clearly not.
That's the Charleston in the background?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wouldn't
I mean,
able
I've
to,
heard it a million times.
I've heard
times.
It a million times, but I wouldn't be able to ID it.
I mean, who would know that?
That's what the flappers would twerk to back in the day.
Right.
So is it the idea, so when we drop an old man cliche, that's when he'll drop that
he'll
in there?
He'll hit the horn and an old man. Yeah.
Right. Cake say old man cliche.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. That's just a Freddie Edelstein one. But it's something an old person would say.
Yes, 100%.
But again, Valdez, can you put the alarm at the beginning?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no chance a 16-year-old would ever say, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Because they've never heard it. They don't know what it means.
What are some other favorites of cakes?
The list, I'm sure, is very long. They got to come out organically.
Yeah.
Cut off your nose to spite your face?
But I don't use that a lot.
I know, but I'm just saying.
The mortal coil.
Shed your mortal coil,
We all shed our mortal coil.
That's one
coil.
Of my faves.
Boom, hit the alarm.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it. Who do you think it will play for more? It's got to be Cakes, right?
He's going to lead. But I'm going to start thinking about, since I want him to play that. Yeah, I want the alarm. I want him to insert it. So I'll just start thinking about some, and I'll just drop them in periodically.
Well, I was telling the boys while he works on that during the break that I actually have an anecdote with mom. So I think I've told you several times that during this pandemic, my mom's been really good. She stays home. She goes for walks and stuff, but we've been getting her groceries, or the neighbors get her groceries, or we've introduced her to Instacart and that sort of thing. And I've had some moments where I'm just screaming at my mom over the phone, cursing. It's just, because, it's... The computer's not intuitive to her. If she loses her place, we have to start over from the beginning. It's very difficult to do it over the phone.
Does she get salty when you curse? It has to wreck her when you do that.
No, because it's a bigger thing. We're dealing with a bigger issue. The cursing is completely irrelevant.
Right.
But I say the worst things. And
you drop F-bombs to your mom?
Yeah, I mean, I don't call her an F-bomb, I go, what the? I lose my mind. Because you only have a certain level of tolerance.
Right.
And, when your mom takes 4 hours to order her groceries, you're going to start cursing, Cakes.
Sure.
I'm not exaggerating. 4 hours. Now, I might only be on with her for an hour of it. But, I tell my mom I got a life. I mean, I can't just be on the phone for 4 hours with you. And you start losing your mind. So... the other day, she was talking to JP's mom, and she was lamenting that she's been paying all of these service fees because Instacart, I like it, but it is expensive. There's a $15 fee, and then you have another fee, and then you have your tip. So you end up, if you get a significant order, you're paying 50, 60, 70 bucks sometimes to get your, right? So she's like, she doesn't want to do that. JP's mom just goes and uses Peapod. And goes over there and does the curbside delivery, right? And so she says...
But by the way, she takes forever doing that, too. I talked to her on the phone yesterday. She's, I've been on the computer for an hour shopping.
Yeah. Well, my mom's record so far is 4 hours.
That's incredible.
4 hours to set up the account and start picking your items. And then my wife, Dina, God bless her, who's a saint, was on with her for a lot of it, okay? And because I can't, Dean knows I can't handle it. Like, it's just, sometimes it's just too much. And so they're going through it, and then she wants to do the curbside. And I won't even give you all of the different things that that tricked her up and when she had to start over. But at the very end, there were two critical points where I walked by. I was out of the fire pit. This happened 2 days ago. And I saw that she was at the end, and she had to hit that part where she was putting her credit card information in. And then you have the terms where it says, click this to say you've read the terms and agreement. And she goes, oh, my God, that's going to take me another hour and a half to read that. Huh. And we said, Mom,
nobody reads it.
Nobody. All you do is just check that you read it. She goes, well, that's a lie. I don't lie. I go, Mom, it's not a lie. It's just a thing. I'm not telling. She started crying. I can't do that. I can't lie and say I read it. And I go, Mom, everyone clicks it. Literally everyone in the world. No one reads it. And this went on probably while I was around 15 or 20 minutes. She refused to click that I read the terms and that it's okay, you know, to take my information and complete the order. So I lose my mind. I'm screaming at my mom as I'm walking by on the phone because my wife is dealing with it. She finally, Dina says, and I give her a different options. I go, just put my credit card. Put my credit card. I'll click it. I don't care. Put my
credit
card.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, anything. Just get it over with. This is a nightmare. So my wife finally says, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll skim it for you, and I'll tell you what it says. So Dee spends 10 or 15 minutes skimming it, telling her what the damn thing says, before you just check the thing that everyone in the world checks, and literally nobody reads. She checked it, and then the order was completed, and then somehow she got set up for a Monday delivery, not curbside pickup. So it defeated the whole purpose of the whole thing. So she spent 4 hours filling out the whole thing just so she could do curbside, so she could drive up, pop her trunk, they put the groceries in, and she could get it the next day. She ended up somehow hitting delivery in the whole process. And the whole thing was a waste of time.
Yeah.
So she won't get her groceries until Monday now anyway. Hmm. How about that? That's just another day in the life of the Bickles.
Sounds like a fun quarantine afternoon just for you.
And I blame JP's mom for that. Yeah. She planted it in her head that curbside delivery and Peapod was the way to go, and it just didn't work out.
Hmm.
Well, didn't the most preposterous out. Thing is that she wanted to read the terms and conditions and wouldn't just click the I agree.
Cakes. It's the single most tilting thing
I've
ever dealt with.
I could see where that would be very frustrating.
So, Eric, you've got a bone to pick with JP's mom.
Right.
All right.
Right.
We'll call her.
There's my first
there it is.
Old man cliche.
Couldn't have been teed up.
Man, Reba.
Where's the beef?
I've fallen. I can't get up.
I love Where's the Beef. That's great.
That's
just
a new
classic.
Staple.
Nice. You got to have that more readily available, though, Valdez.
I was polishing it off a little bit.
Right. My bad.
It was a little rough around the edges.
Fine-tuning. So. Yeah, everything needs some fine-tuning. It's all good.
It was a little rough around the edges. Is that an old man cliche?
I think so.
Probably qualifies.
Yeah.
By the way, so if it took 5.5 hours approximately, Eric, you'd been much better off driving from Kensington, stopping at the Safeway and Bowie, picking up the groceries, dropping them off, stopping at wherever you wanted to eat at the Bowie Town Center, getting your food. I know you can't sit in the restaurants just yet, but you can walk in, pick up your food, eat it in the car, throw it in the trash, take a nap in the car, then drive home, and you would have saved time. EB cart.
Here's the thing. Is we told her, we'll just do it. We'll just order it all for you and set you up, and then you just approve it. And that way, because we'll do it in 15 minutes. But she wants to be able to do it. You know what I mean? She goes, no. I got to learn.
Right.
So the problem is the learning part. Like, I'm not even sure the next time we do it if there's a learning curve there. I think it's just like you start from zero again.
Dude, it's just hard with our moms who are older. I've told the story before. I took my mom to the movies a couple years ago. I muted her phone.
which she's got an iPhone. You simply click the little button on the side, and you move it down. The next day, she said her phone wasn't working, it wasn't ringing, and I, over the phone, tried for 15 minutes to explain all she had to do was click the phone, just move one little button up.
Yeah.
Wasn't able to pull it off, so after the show the next day, I had to drive to Bowie to do it myself. Because it's just, it's hard to communicate with them sometimes on new technology.
Right. Yeah. Especially when you're dealing with someone who didn't, in the workforce, whenever they worked, they didn't use computers. You know what I mean? They just didn't.
You know, another upside to not being in studio, speaking of being old and technology, is not having Matt and Matt walk in and see one of our texts. If, God forbid, the font on the text is bigger than theirs. Because they will just attack you mercilessly.
Yeah, that is true.
About how big your font is.
Well, I know Jason and I both have the same
size. We have the same. Yeah, and I need it. I can't see anything anymore.
And mine is literally as big as it gets. Like you can't stretch it out and make it bigger.
Yeah. Right.
You pinch zoom it and it's just at the largest.
Thank you.
Where's the beat?
It is true.
It's not a cliche, but if you're talking about big font sizes,
right.
I think it warrants being played.
What was the name of the
What was the name of the Where's the Beef lady? It was
Clara Peller.
Wow, yeah. Cakes.
How did you remember that?
I thought
that?
It was Claire.
I think it's Clara Peller.
I think so. How did Cakes, was that just in your deep recesses? You just knew that?
Yeah, it's just a poll. Yeah. It's just one of those weird things.
Yeah, but if you asked him who the Treasury Secretary is, who's on
that's
TV
not
all
important
the time,
to me.
But
that's
no
not
idea.
Culturally.
The Treasury Secretary? People, hold on.
Who
people
is it?
People actually know who the Treasury Secretary
is?
Very.
Mnuchin.
Wait.
He's on TV all the time.
Okay.
What's his name?
I know he's
Mnuchin.
A dork. I know he's
Mnuchin?
A rich, he's a rich dork that has a way hotter wife than he should have.
Right.
That's all I know about him.
Oh, does
I'm
he?
I'm impressed that you know that.
He has a hot wife?
Well, yeah. Way hotter than what he should pull.
I think it's his third.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I don't
well,
think
by
he's
then
good.
He should get it right. Let me see.
Yeah,
he's probably a nightmare.
But he's a big nerd.
Oh, he looks ugly.
Ask me another one, JP, quickly.
Luis Linton, is that his wife?
I don't know.
She seems like a show compared to him.
Right. That's what I mean.
What is going on with that?
Yeah, but I think he's worth like $750 million
yeah,
or something.
Filthy
like that.
Rich. So of course it makes sense.
I mean, there's no chance that she's, like, turned on by him.
Right.
Right? Literally a zero.
She's
like,
turned
she
on
might
by
like
his portfolio.
Him. She might like him, and she might find him intellectually stimulating, but there's a 0% chance she's turned on by him.
His net worth, last I saw, this might be old, this might be before he went into government, $300 million.
That's pretty good net worth.
Right.
I would just, every day, just log on to my account and just stare at it.
Every day. I wouldn't move from my seat.
I wouldn't move.
I'm with you.
Man,
all right,
make
gotta take a break.
Online wagers and just stare at my account.
When we come back, we got the World Series Rewind here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We got Fridays with Feinstein coming up at 8 o'clock. But as we do each morning on the Junkies, we do a little World Series rewind at this time. Today we look back to October 7th. Last year when they took on the Dodgers and got a 6-1 win highlighted by a Ryan Zimmerman three-run shot in the fifth. Here's our World Series rewind.
Listen weekday mornings at 7:40 and 11:40 for the World Series rewind.
Rewind! Remember where you are on October 30th.
For the Washington Nationals 2019 World Series championship season.
You want me to rewind that?
Presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation.
Now Baez to the belt. Two out. The right-hander kicks, delivers, Zim swings and drives one to deep center field. Way back goes Bellinger to the warning track, to the wall. It is gone! Goodbye! Bang! Zim goes center field! It's a three-run home run for the Z-Man! It's the Nationals 5 and the Dodgers 1! Bang! Zone go the fireworks!
That was so great. Such a great moment for Zim.
And can you imagine how good that felt for him? Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, because that just be dealing with so much crap the last couple years and... To be able to come up big and have some big moments. That team literally had contributions from everyone, which was just amazing and made it even more special. So
that's all Max needed. Max only allowed 4 hits over 7, struck out 7, got the win there, and then that evened the series, correct?
Yes.
I think so.
Got the series tied at that point.
Forced to game 5, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Any movement or any word on the proposal and how the players are feeling about it? I haven't read too much about it in the last few days.
No, and did I read that the NHL, they're voting on their like proposed deal too, the 24-team playoff? Is that right? Some of those,
yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Some of those results might be.
It's being discussed. Sounds like they're going to try to do like a 24-team like playoff bit. That seems weird, but I mean.
Makes sense,
it's
though.
A weird time.
It makes sense because they're probably like, all right, well, look, we're not going to be able to finish the regular season and let you guys have an opportunity to get to the playoffs. So anybody close, we're just going to open it up.
Yeah.
Right? Makes sense. Don't hate it. It's going to make it just that much more difficult to get through it, though, right? Extra round for some teams, I would think.
Definitely be tougher.
But, yeah.
They say that the results of the voting could be as early as tonight.
Now this is
for the NHL.
For the NHL. Mm-hmm. Now the MLB, they issue some sort of response like that the union has looked at all of these and then that they're responding to the owners, something like that.
Yeah,
I thought I read that.
So yeah, they could. I guess it could be put through tonight if the players approve the NHL proposal because it would be they're going to use two hub cities, right? Okay, because I thought I read two hubs.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like there's going to be a Western hub, which could, it's been rumored to be possibly Vegas, and then some sort of Eastern hub city.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully we can find out more about that tonight because, man, it would be great.
You know,
I would watch like San Jose and the Kings. You know, I'd watch hockey. You know, I usually just watch the Caps, but I would watch any two teams play at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the NHL playoffs are great, even if it's not the team that you follow or care about. And if you have
I wouldn't watch
teams,
that game, Jason.
I would.
You wouldn't be sucked into that?
I mean, I'm not going to watch it at 11 o'clock at night during the week, but
I'd wait for the Caps.
Well, I'm certainly watching the Caps.
Have you guys seen the high school sports return to play guidelines that they're trying to put out there? And if they follow these things, I know Dane and I, for Time and Room, we're going to talk about it in our next show. If they try to put these out there and follow these, I mean, you'll just – they're setting the bar so high. They've basically put sports in, I guess, it's either three or four different categories, like low risk, moderate risk, and higher risk. So the lower risk sports are like golf, obviously. You're outside. You're not – you know, you can easily stay away from people and not get your boogers on each other. Swimming, running, those are considered lower risk. And those could, I guess, be able to practice and have games, whatever, competitions by phase two. Then they have moderate risk, like soccer and basketball. They could also start to practice, I guess. But then they have volleyball is also in there.
Mm-hmm.
But then football and lacrosse is even one that they're considering high risk.
Right.
Which is just crazy to me. And it's crazy to Dane because in lacrosse, for example, they're all they have gloves, they have helmets, they have pads. Sure, there's contact, but it's not like basketball. I mean, basketball, it's skin on skin, sweat on sweat. You know what I mean? It's extremely physical. And I'm not trying to hate on basketball. And it's indoors. Football and lacrosse are outdoors, which there's very little. There's negligible transmission to begin with. And some of these sports, like football, they're saying they won't even be able to come back until the end of phase three, until they start a phase four, which I think I've never even heard of a phase four.
So is this a national guideline or is this
local?
These
are national guidelines that they're trying to put out there. Now, they haven't necessarily been adopted, but the National Federation of State High School Association has released guidelines for a possible return to play for high schools. And the fear is, if you know, if they adopt some of it, like you're not going to have football in the fall if they have to
adopt this. Right.
Maybe you can have lacrosse in the spring, but I don't know how you're going to have, you know, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm praying that they start on time and then all the sports, none of the sports are affected, especially football. And then
now,
especially
this is high school. This is high school.
Right. And then especially softball in the spring.
Yeah.
Because that would be my daughter's senior year, and she would be just devastated if she couldn't play her senior year. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to get through it, man. You know, all these states are just petrified. And I would just say, just like we've talked about it over the last few weeks.
Just wait.
And, you know, don't put forth any sort of a plan yet. Let's just wait and see where we are nationally in a couple months, and then we can go from there.
Right. I mean, things are changing by the week, by the day.
Yeah.
You know, things are trending in a great direction. Let's let it continue.
Seems like it, yeah.
Let's not act on, you know, information from 2 months ago.
I mean, even D.C. got some good news yesterday.
I mean, there's a lot of great news out there. A lot of good stuff.
So. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein joins us on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.